Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 290 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I want to thank you for listening and wish you a happy Labor Day. We're going into Labor Day weekend. I'm not sure when this will be up. If it's up over the weekend, enjoy. If it's after the weekend, I hope you had a great one. You know, people and fans, and I appreciate you guys. Some of you are friends, even family, who listen to this podcast, and I know you want to hear it more, and you want to hear it on a regular basis. I really appreciate that. And I was thinking about it, and besides other commitments and other podcasts and so forth, I do. By the way, I did a podcast called Countryish with John Reap. John Reap is an old friend and a fellow Last Comic Standing champion. We were even neighbors for a few years while he lived in LA, even though we never saw each other at home because we were always on the road. But anyway, check it out. I loved catching up with John, and I love doing that. I'm doing one this weekend with Brad Garrett, who's a phenomenal guy. I can't say it enough how generous he is, how quietly generous he is to other comics. Brad helps a lot of people out. He's a good guy, and I love talking to him. So anyway, besides that sort of thing, and I would be remiss, and this one you're going to have to look for. I'm waiting for her to send me the link, and I'll put it up. Pat Prescott, who is a brilliant DJ for The Wave and has an award-winning smooth jazz DJ, jazz personality, etc. We did a podcast about entertainment during the coronavirus. It was me, Tommy Davidson, and George Wallace. It's supposed to be 15 minutes. I think we went 45 when Pat finally told us, shut up. It was so much fun, particularly because both of those guys are mentors of mine. I did a year touring, opening for Tommy. I learned so much and was introduced to so many clubs. And you guys have heard me talk numerous times about George Wallace, Dr. Wallace, the old master. The three of us together, it was just so much fun, you know, and people, well, I hope she recorded the whole thing is all I can tell you. But anyway, I will definitely post it when it's up. Her name is Pat Prescott with 94.7 The Wave in LA. You can look her up and you can look for her podcast, which is this. She does stuff on the air, but this is where we get to go long. So that's going to be great. All of that to say, one of the things about my podcast, as you know, I try, just try to keep up with the news. And you know why I can't do it? Because it's too much. It happens too fast. There is no way I can keep up with the news cycle. Honestly, I would have to do two-a-days. I'd have to do, what are you doing? Two-a-days. You working out? No, I'm doing podcasts. What? The news. Oh, yeah, you got to do those four times a day. The volume of ignorance, of anger, of just so much comes. I mean, it's just constant. Little bit of good news mixed in, and forget trying to get to that because you can't. I mean, this past week, where do I start? All right, might as well just, you know what, start at the bottom. So Trump goes to Kenosha, where Jacob Blake was shot, in spite of the mayor saying don't come, the governor saying don't come, the family saying we're not going to meet with you, whatever. But he went because he saw it as one of his bullshit law and order opportunities. No, I shouldn't even call it. It's not bullshit. It because it was a dog whistle to his base, because he got to walk around in a damaged city and say this is the city that Biden's going to bring you. By the way, when they show those commercials and talked about this is the future with Biden, two things to keep in mind. One, the pictures of the United States, well, that would be Trump's United States because he's president right now. And two, not all the pictures of the United States. Some of the pictures were of Spain after a protest there. Wouldn't that qualify as fake news? Just saying. When you say this is America and it's Spain, would that not be fake news? Eh. But anyway, not only does Trump go down there and fake pictures. He did a picture in front of a burned out building with the owner of the building, who wasn't actually the owner of the building. The owner of the building said he wasn't going to do a photo op for Trump. So they found the prior owner. They actually put the effort into finding the prior owner of the property to have him stand with Trump. Trump said the cop who shot Jacob Blake 7 times in the back choked. Oh, we got some good cops, but this one choked. Now, that word's not an accident. That word is some speechwriter, some dog whistle, it's probably a joke to them, to the right wings, or something about, you know, George Floyd being choked and so. So anyway, he said that. And then he backs Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who killed 2 people, with his bullshit self-defense story. Self-defense. So this kid, 17 years old, he's a kid. I don't even know how a kid owns a AR-15 or whatever rifle he had. But anyway, I don't know the laws there, so maybe it's legal. I don't know. But this kid gets in a car, goes 20 miles to a different state to walk the streets with a militia and kills 2 people. How is that self-defense? Maybe if you'd have just stayed home. Like, you're not law enforcement. You're not supposed to be patrolling the streets with your rifle. So how is that self-defense? But anyway, they pass it. And this is how much they love him. Okay, make no mistake that this law and order bullshit, this racist stuff. You know, people like, oh, that's not America. Yeah, it's America. There was over $250,000 in the GoFundMe account for this Rittenhouse kid before GoFundMe shut that down. Ann Coulter, who we all love, said, I want him as my president. Tucker Carlson says, what do we expect when no one will maintain order? A 17-year-old with a rifle has to maintain order. Do you understand how insane that is? A 17-year-old with a rifle, just that statement is insane. Not hunting rifle. I'm not talking about that. I know that kids go hunting with their parents, their family, stuff like that. Shoot targets. You live out in the country, you shoot targets in the backyard. What? That's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you go with a military style rifle. I know all the gun experts. It's not a military. It's not an assault weapon. Shut up. Shut up. You go with a rifle designed to kill people. You're 17 years old and you're patrolling the streets. What the fuck? And you supported in doing this, okay? So make no mistake, this is America. Dijon Kizzy in L.A., right here in L.A., 29 years old. He was on a bicycle. We don't know what the story is. It's dripping out, this and that. But apparently, he was on a bicycle. They said he committed a violation. I don't know what traffic violation you commit on a bicycle. But the cops started chasing him. He started running away. They said he dropped his jacket, that there was a gun in the jacket that he dropped, that he punched a cop. So they needed to shoot him 20 fucking times. And they kept shooting him after he was down, laying on the ground. Well, here's the thing. If he dropped the gun, how is he a threat? How is he a deadly threat? It is like, oh man, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on a name here. Shannon Sharp, that's the name I was looking for. It's like Shannon Sharp said that white people find the color of our skin a bigger weapon than a gun. Because this Rittenhouse kid, this little white kid, had a gun and walked right by the police. And there was nothing said. And this is the threat. This man, Dijon Kizzy, he was a large black man. And the cops felt the need to keep shooting him after he's laying down on the ground, out of guns, laying on the ground. They kept shooting. So that must have been the threat, the color of his skin. So this is that bullshit that they call law and order, and they love it. It's tiring. It's on and on. And you know what else? It works. Down in Florida. And I know what you're thinking. Well, it's Florida. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It is Florida, and things happening in Florida are only in Florida. But in Florida, a man named Charles McMillian, with his 10-year-old son and another friend, returned a rental truck to a U-Haul facility in Tallahassee. They're dropping off a U-Haul at a U-Haul place. An older couple starts walking to the truck yelling, "Don't move." They sped off. Why? Because a couple started shooting. They started shooting at them. It's unbelievable. The only reason this was stopped is a police officer happened to be in a parking lot. The shooters were identified as Wallace and Beverly Fountain. They owned the strip mall where the car was being, where the U-Haul was being returned. And they claimed they were having problems with people stealing gas from the U-Haul trucks. Yeah, right. So they saw three black people unarmed. Their only weapon was black skin, dropping off a U-Haul, and they just opened fire. Okay, now here's another argument. Well, the good thing the cop was there. If we defund the police won't be there. Yeah, they would. Defund the police means taking money away from the militarization of police and using that money for communities. It's not saying do away with police. All right, so let's get over that. And on the topic of militarization of police, you know, again, I love you guys and thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And I do get emails and so on. And I'm going to jump out of my order of my notes here just to acknowledge a man. I'm not going to mention his name. He asked that I not mention his name because of his military service. But I will tell you this. The man who emailed me was a Marine. And he said, you know, the problem with this militarization of police is they don't have a code. He said, we Marines had a code. And part of that code was never shoot someone in the back. So he said, so if you want to be military, if you want to wear the fatigues and carry the weapons and drive the tanks and all that, how about following the code of the military? And I will speak as a fan of the military, as someone who's been to military bases all over the world, entertained every branch of the military. To say they have a code, especially the Marines, it is beautiful. It is to be admired. It's like in the movie, A Few Good Men, that when they, you know, that line that these are people to whom the word honor has meaning. I can't tell you enough how badass Marines are and how great they are. And for a Marine to say this is a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone's going to listen, but the man is right. The man is right. If you want military weapons, follow a military code. Don't shoot people in the back. Don't shoot people who are already unarmed and laying on the ground. The military doesn't do that. Rarely. And when they do, it's a crime. It is a war crime, and they're prosecuted for it. They're jailed for doing things like that. Just saying. On the topic of the military, so Trump said that veterans who were wounded or killed were losers and suckers. Yeah, you're a loser if you got wounded. You're a sucker if you gave your life. So now some veterans are speaking out against Trump, which is good. My thing is, where were you with the racism, the misogyny, the lies? All of that was okay. Now suddenly he's bad. At which point a friend told me, Alonzo, shut up. If they got on board, if they're going to support Biden, we need them. So let's take them. All right, I'll shut up. But still, can I at least give him a side eye? Can I at least give not all veterans, but the guy in the article was talking about, I was a MAGA hat wearing Trump flag waving Republican. And then he said, we're losers and suckers. And now I'm anti-Trump. Well, yeah. Welcome to the world. The last thing I want to say about the military, and I don't understand this one at all. I really don't understand this at all. They're shutting down Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes is the military newspaper. It started around the time of the Civil War. And they would send the news out. And I've read it. It gives them the truth. It's not some left-wing liberal thing. That's not where it's being shut down. I would say it probably leans conservative, but it's actually It's for the military. It gives them the news that they need. It gives them a taste of home. It's advertising for them, for whether it be for their housing or their, you know, there's a lot of stuff when you're in the military you got to deal with your cars and this and living on bases, all of this stuff. Here's a great description. It's the local paper for the military. It provides intensive and critical coverage of issues that are important to members of the nation's armed services and cuts through political and military brass talking points. So, it's their paper. It's being shut down. They're talking about the budget, which is $15.5 million. Yeah, except that the defense budget is $700 billion. So if you have a $700 billion budget, $15 million isn't enough, isn't much, isn't anything. And yeah, this comes from Trump, by the way. This comes from Trump. Trump wants to shut it down. He's going to talk about defunding the military. He's going to defund Stars and Stripes. It's ridiculous. Legally, he can't do it, because legally the money is allocated by Congress, but we see how many times they've gotten around that. So even Lindsey Graham, who must have been reading this by a flashlight because he has his head all the way up Trump's ass all the time. Even he said, as a veteran who served overseas, I know the value Stars and Stripes brings to its readers. Lindsey Graham, speaking against Trump on this topic, just shutting down a newspaper. This is big. This is fucking major, because for some of them, this is the only news they get. There are places still with no internet, especially if you're living in a tent in back of Afghanistan somewhere. This is your news. Just arbitrarily. Yeah, we're going to shut that off. Ugh. You know what? I haven't even mentioned the pandemic. That's how tiring it is. This is the news. Finally, this is the last of the orange idiot, then I'm going to move on. He said to North Carolina, he told his base there, the voters should vote twice to show that the system can't catch the fraud. Vote by mail and then go vote in person. Now, first of all, we all know the only place you can vote twice legally is Florida. So put down Mar-a-Lago as your home address and vote as many times as you want. Sorry, Florida. I know it's a cheap joke, but you guys aren't very good with elections. What do you want from me? People are talking about how this is, it's besides illegal, outrageous for the president to literally encourage voter fraud. It's, I don't know. It's beyond description. There's no way to deal with this sort of thing. What do you say to something like this? Would the president of the United States literally encourages people to do voter fraud to show that it's possible? Well, yeah, if hundreds of thousands or even millions of people mail in ballots and go to the ballot box, I could see where there might be a problem. Yeah, that, and it's not voter fraud. It's an organized criminal activity, for God's sake. Shit. So there's that. I'm sorry. I love this. Don't get me wrong. I love doing this. I love talking about this, and I so appreciate you guys listening. But man, what the hell? So let's talk real quick about the NBA, because I talked last week how much I love the NBA players not playing. The result of that, of course, there were those who say, you're just basketball players. Shut up and dribble. I ignore that. They talked about them not having a plan. A few of the players came back and said, well, how could we have a plan? We didn't expect this. Milwaukee did it, and we back Milwaukee, but we didn't have time to talk about it, so we're going to take a couple of days. And they didn't play for 3 days, and they talked about it. And people are like, well, they're just bad, blah, 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 blah. You know what they did? And people are like, what did they do? What did they? It didn't. Yeah, this is what it accomplished. All around the country, stadiums and arenas are going to be used as polling places, which is a great thing. The owners have committed money. The NBA is doing ads for voter registration, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I like, there were a lot of young players in the NBA that weren't registered who registered to vote. And people are like, well, they should, blah, 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 blah. Now, listen, young NBA players are still young men, very young men, early 20s. Think back to your early 20s. If you were anything like me, you were an idiot. Now, I was registered to vote partly because of school and also because I worked for a defense contractor, so they told us we had to vote. You work for a defense contractor, two things you have to do. You have to vote and you have to do jury duty. Okay, that's just the way it is. But if you think to your early 20s, you're partying, you're young, you're having fun. As somebody, I read somewhere, somebody said, in your 20s, you're just a teenager with a good job. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But imagine, for instance, credit cards. For instance, credit card. You get your credit card. Maybe you get that college credit card or something. Imagine thinking that that's unlimited money. Because every kid thinks that, unless you, the few are taught about it. Most of us weren't taught. And you imagine being able to buy anything you want. Now, so again, some are rich, parents are rich, and you could buy anything you want. But if you're a young ball player, you can buy anything you want. I'm just saying, you have all of these things, all of these ways you could be remarkably irresponsible, and yet they're not. And maybe they didn't think about voting, because most young people don't. Most people in it. Late teens, early 20s are not registered and don't bother voting. So I'm not mad at these young players, but I'm happy to see that they, because of everything going on, they are getting involved and they are speaking out and they are voting and they're having meetings. Good for them. Good for them. They're probably doing better than most people their age as far as being involved. And they're certainly doing it with millions of people watching. So kudos to these young players. Now, here's another thing I hear a lot about. Black-on-black crime. How come you never talk about black-on-black crime? What about black-on-black crime? I'm going to give you some black-on-black crime right here. Some knucklehead, Walter E. Williams, columnist for the Daily Signal, professor of economics at George Mason University. So he makes this argument that in the NBA, 80% of the league is black. He says that does not come anywhere close to the diversity and inclusion sought by the nation's social justice warriors. Both professional and college, I'm quoting this article from him, both professional and college coaches have ignored and threw out any pretense of seeking diversity and inclusiveness. My question to you is this. Would a basketball team be improved if coaches were required to include ethnically diverse players for the sake of equity? Okay, so this is the point he's trying to make. That scientists, fighter pilots, let's see, what else? Okay, well, let's just use those two. Scientists and fighter pilots should not be are not represented in an equally diverse manner. And he's saying that the bulk of scientists are not only Americans of European and Asian ancestry, but mostly men. What would you do to make it more illustrative of racial, ethnic, and sexual diversity? Blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'm going to do the same thing that basketball does. I'm going to recruit the brightest scientists. I don't care if most of them turn out to be men of Asian or European ancestry. Well, here's the thing, asshat. And he talks about black people, black kids scoring lower in school, brown kids scoring lower in school, et cetera, et cetera. They're not given the opportunity. It has been shown repeatedly over and over that schools in lower income in minority communities are simply not as good. You're not taught the same math. You're not taught the same science. So when you get to college, no, you can't take the courses that would lead you to be a scientist or a fighter pilot because you simply weren't equipped. Not equipped in the sense that you're not smart enough, not equipped in the sense that you're, if you believe in God, that God created you as less. No, just you simply weren't given the tools. I read Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. One of the things he talked about was, you know, in that story of teach a man to fish. Well, you got to give him a fishing rod. You got to give him a, you teach him to fish and don't give him a fishing rod. He ain't catching no fish. If black and brown kids were given the same opportunity, they would achieve at the same level. How do I know? Because I was lucky enough to be given that opportunity. As many of you know, I went to a school in New York called Aviation High School, and they taught us to be airplane mechanics along with the high school curriculum. I cannot tell you how great the achievements are, not just of the white and Asian kids, but of the black and brown kids, one of whom is a very good friend of mine, and I'm not going to give you his name because his anonymity still matters. Why? Because at one point he was the highest ranking black employee at Lockheed Martin Aircraft. Another one who graduated from aviation high school, went to the Marines, and became a government lawyer, a top-rated government lawyer who you've seen on the news because he's prosecuted some of these big-ass cases. There are more black and brown engineers that came from my high school than I can name. Do you understand? Opportunity, you fucking asshole. Black-on-black crime is you sitting up there for white people, telling them that it's okay to discriminate against black and brown people because we are somehow genetically inferior. This shit, they said this about Jackie Robinson. How did that work out? Walter E. Williams, kiss my fucking ass. I will slap you with a row of engineers that'll make your fucking head spin. How dare you? How dare you write something like that? No, it's not the same as the NBA or the NFL because these people are athletes. Athletes train. It is a physical prowess and they devote their lives to it. And you better believe that they get better training than the average person. By the time you get to high school, if you are an elite athlete, your training is on a whole different level. So in a way, it is the same thing. So shut the fuck up, okay? And you know what? If you're a white guy and you're a good basketball player, you're going to play in the NBA. Look how many Europeans are in the NBA. The point of these discrimination, the point of these social justice warriors, as you say, is opportunity. What they're saying is even when a black man, even when a brown man, even when a woman has the same talent, the same training, etc., they may not get a chance simply because of the color of their skin or the gender with which they were born. So shut the fuck up. God, black on black crime is people like you. That's black on black crime. You and Jason Whitlock and just, you know, Diamond and Pearl, whatever the fuck, those two idiots, those two black women from Fox, the right wing so-called comics. Yeah. Black on black crime is Stacey Dash, is Candace Owen, is the list, the horrible list, Ben Carson. Jesus Christ. Herman Cain. From the grave, this is how deep it runs, from the grave, Herman Cain's Twitter was switched to the Cain Warriors, and they said that the coronavirus, that COVID-19 is not that deadly after he fucking died from the coronavirus. That's how deep it runs. Black on black crime, that is black on black crime. That is black on brown crime. That is what the fuck. That is what the fuck. Sorry, I got a little emotional on that one because people like this, in my opinion, are the absolute worst. Are the absolute worst. You know why? Because this guy's a professor of economics at a university. So he should be smarter than that. And he should maybe be helping. How is it that the, and I wish I could remember her name, but the woman who divorced Jeff Bezos. I have to stop and find her name. Mackenzie Scott is her name. Donated $1.7 billion to racial equality. I think she gave 60 some odd million to historically black colleges and universities. Okay? So yeah, Walt, shut the fuck up. Black on black crime is you. All right? Jesus. Sorry about that, people. Got a little emotional on that one. See what I mean? It's all too much. And I could go on and on. Listen. Have a great weekend. Have a fantastic weekend. I'm going to try to unplug a bit. I'm doing a little bit of work. I tell you, I'm doing that podcast with Brad, but I'm going to try to unplug. Lord knows I need to. I will close this podcast by saying here's another reason it was a tough week. Man, we lost some good ones. You know, Rick Riley was a sports writer for Sports Illustrated forever. I grew up for years reading his columns in the back page of Sports Illustrated, and he wrote some great books. And it's a line in a book of his that I won't forget. It said, "Rats get fat and good men die." And there's no more proof of it than this past week. First, it was Chadwick Boseman, who's played Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, and of course, Black Panther. Only 42, 43 years old, lost him to cancer. Cliff Robertson played for the Portland Trailblazers. Cliff Robinson was a battler back in the good old days of the NBA when Portland was with Drexler and just going at it. Great basketball player, good guy. The headband was his trademark. He died Saturday. John Thompson, the coach from Georgetown, the coach who handled Patrick Ewing and Dikembe Mutombo and Alonzo Mourning and famously Allen Iverson, who cried at his Hall of Fame speech talking about how John Thompson saved his life. Didn't talk about how John Thompson made him a good basketball player. Talked about how John Thompson saved his life, because John Thompson as a coach was brilliant, amazing. And those Big East battles in the 80s were fantastic. Fantastic. But what he really did, and all of his players talked about it, what he really did was he shaped men. He made them men. And every one of his players said they were a better man after leaving his program. So John Thompson died. And then Tom Seaver. Tom Terrific. I'm a lifelong Met fan. Greatest Met pitcher of all time. 69 Mets, you got to believe, led by Tom Seaver. Yeah. That's too many, man. That's boom, 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 boom. 4 days, 5 days, we lose those four? Come on, man. How much? So rest in peace, all of you, and thank you for your fantastic lives, and you were all people who gave an example of making the world a better place, particularly Chadwick Boseman, what you did. And I only say that because movies are worldwide, and Black Panther's a billion-dollar movie worldwide, and he never stopped talking. And while he had cancer, he was going to hospitals visiting kids with cancer. Come on. Come on. How come someone that good dies? I don't know. It's not up to me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with me, getting a little emotional, getting a little angry. Thanks for laughing with me at stupidity. Wear a mask. I know it's un-American. Reddit had this hilarious. It was a whole takeoff on masks being un-American. Idiots. Wear a mask. Enjoy yourself. If you're in LA, find somewhere cool. I think we're supposed to hit 110 this weekend. It's going to be a little hot. I'm okay with that. Summer's over. Still hot. I love you. Thank you. Keep listening. Look for a laugh. Turn off the news.